Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. We're happy to have you here today. A couple announcements. One is a reminder that on October 30th, Christian's going to be ordained here at 4 o'clock. You're invited to come, and we hope you all can make it. And this is going to be Reverend Tom Clifton's last sermon service with us for a while. We don't know when the next one might be. And we want to thank Tom for all the services he's done and services related to the Beatitudes. I thought that was extremely informative and interested, and so we really do appreciate Tom's presence at our service. So thank you, Tom. With that, I will now turn it over to Tom Clifton.
Well, it's been a fun summer and early fall for me to be with you in these weeks. Thank you so much for allowing me the privilege. I don't know if I said this once before, but preaching keeps me from going crazy. Did I say that once before? Did I? Yeah, I don't know. But it does, really. Each time I get the invitation, it puts me back in prayer and renewal of waiting on God and searching God's word for life and truth. And then I'm not crazy now, you know. And so maybe you have something in your life that keeps you from going crazy. But it's just a gift to me. And if my presence has been a blessing to you, then I thank God for that. So I look forward to the 30th of October. And they're not just invited, they're begged, pleaded with, implored. Bring someone with you. Ordination is a magnificent moment in the life of the candidate and in the life of the church, and it's something not to be missed. So please be a part of that, if you would.
I also bought a really pretty robe.
I would also add that this is a special day in the life of churches around the world. This is called World Communion Sunday. Used to be called Worldwide, but now it's called World Communion Sunday. And churches all over the world are celebrating at the table today, mindful of each other in this larger, wonderful family of God that reaches around the world and includes so many colors and tribes and languages and customs. It began here in Pittsburgh at Shadyside Presbyterian Church. Did you know that? You did. Well, you know everything because you just got that degree from Pittsburgh Seminary. It was in 1930 that the pastor of Shadyside Presbyterian Church had the idea. And it sort of lingered around for a while. And then during the Second World War, it took off and became much more observed because of the understanding and need of our broken world, the conflict and the wars, and that God's people need each other in such a greater way than we've ever known before. And today it is recognized in so many, many places, so many denominations, and so many cultures and countries and nations. So we are going to be mindful of World Communion Sunday, both in our readings and in our prayers and in our celebration of the table to come today. So mindful of that, let's call one another to the worship of God. Lord, as we gather around this wonderful meal everywhere and in every place, bless us, all your children.
As we eat the bread and drink the cup, linking arms around the world, pour your grace into us all.
May we see in each other your light and be renewed in joyful service.
May our differences, our names, our languages, our roles, and our way of doing things, may what matter today and every day be that we are one in you.
May lives be awakened to you, Lord, to your grace and to your kingdom. whose door is always open to all. We rise together if able, and all of us join in singing together our opening hymn. Now, as we remain standing, we join in one voice to confess our sins. Almighty God, you have called us to one table, but we have pursued our own course. You have promised us the abundance of all creation, but our greed and in our envy, the world goes without. You have promised us the bread of life itself, but in our pride and in our arrogance, the world goes hungry. You have promised us the waters of peace and justice, but in our violence and in our discord, the world goes thirsty. And now we are famished too, Lord. Have mercy on us, forgive us again, transform us as servants of your righteousness, by the power of your Son, our Lord. Amen. Even when our cups run dry, God's grace overflows. Even when our plates are empty, God's generosity overflows. And even when our hearts feel barren, God's love overflows. Friends, we have been called and claimed by the God of all things, and by the abundance of God's grace, and by the power of God's love, our sins truly confessed have been forgiven. Amen. Amen. now we affirm the faith of the church as we say together. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
the maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty,
from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen. Send your greeting to one another.
As always.
Thank you. We come now to this special moment when God calls us into common prayer and concern and love and caring for each other. And so as we do that, from Kathy, a request for Tina Palmieri. And I remember this from several weeks ago. She suffered three aneurysms in her brain. And now the doctors did not know whether she would walk or what the future would be. And she was in a coma. And now many prayers, I'm sure, for her. She woke up from the coma on the 22nd of September. She is home, she's walking, talking. Isn't that marvelous? And so continue to pray for her that her memory will continue to recover. And so that's a great thing to know. Wonderful news. And then from Lynn, prayer for Sue Merrill. Fractured her back in two places. And now is in the care of her husband, who has MS, and her sister, who has her challenges. And so no known date for any surgery at this point for Sue Merrill. And then from Kristen, some prayer concerns for us to share. She wants us to remember the Carnegie Presbyterian Church. The congregation has sold its building and is looking for a new place now to be God's people and to worship. And also the sale of the church and so forth. And then Kristen has three people for us to remember. Sandy and Frank's family and Jim's family, loved ones passed away. Would you stand and give them some information on that, Kristen? Or if you want to, come up here.
Sure, yeah. Can
yeah.
I see that?
Yes.
I don't remember everybody's last
yes,
name.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I'd like to, if we could keep Jim Eichner and his family in prayer. His sister Dottie did pass away earlier this week. And if we could keep the Permans, Frank's stepfather, Raymond Helfrich, passed away earlier this week as well. And if we could just continue prayers of healing for Sandy Letterly. She's home, she's doing fine. She says that she's feeling better and getting stronger. But still, more prayers is never a harm for that.
During our morning prayer, I'll offer some silence. And if you would remember one or more of these concerns in your prayer, please do that. Let us pray together. God of all nations, we give you thanks that we are each and all made in your image. Every one. That you give rich diversity to your world through all the people that you've made. On this day, we feel connection with all of the faithful around the world. And as we break bread together, we remember that we are always one body in you, despite our different languages and cultures and traditions. Despite our different ways of worship and praying and praising. And so, connecting with one another, we would take the cup of hope of new life, knowing that your will is for your people to be one body. We are one body, not all the same. And it is through the gift of this great diversity that we are able to be your body. We thank you and praise you for making us all who we are, individually and collectively. We name before you today these who come to us and requests for prayer. For Jim's sister, for Frank's stepfather, for Sandy, for Sue, for Tina, we lift our prayers to you. And now, O God, we pray for your world in the midst of great need. In our own lands, thousands without home, shelter because of storms in the south. People who have lost everything in the world that they own. And so we pray that you'll bind us up together as your people, keeping one another in prayer, but also reaching out in any and many ways as we can to help our brothers and sisters through this night of tragedy as they walk toward a new day. Bless, keep, and strengthen each one of them in the work ahead. We thank you for the unity of the people of God. We thank you that you've called us to love and serve one another. We thank you that you call us to one table, one bread, one cup to share together in your sacred meal. We give you thanks for all that is around us and within us that we claim as your good gifts. And we offer you our prayers in Jesus' name, the one who taught us in prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Standing, rising, if able, we join voices together in our hymn. please be seated and join in worshiping God as we bring our gifts of love and devotion to Him this day. Opportunity to give is ours this day. Make us cheerful givers, and may these gifts find their way in ministry and service to your people here and everywhere. Amen.
Good morning. Today's readings comes from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the Spirit of God. There is not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in the words taught us by human wisdom, but in the words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with the Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Bless the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. And so, as Paul has written, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Let us pray. Oh God, may your word here and everywhere go forth into the hearts and minds of your people. And may we be renewed in faith and grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen. 30 years ago, I left my pastorate in upstate New York, and we moved to Kansas City, where I took a position to assist and help lead a struggling small seminary. That job put me on the road a lot. I went a lot of places, and I recall especially one Sunday morning. Usually I wasn't be invited to preach, or if not to preach, to bring greetings from the seminary, so the seminary would stay visible and in the minds and hearts of the people. And if providence allowed, I would meet someone who was just dying to give $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 to this struggling seminary. On this particular Sunday morning, I was in Sun City, Arizona, which is one of the large suburbs of Phoenix. It was sort of an unusual church because every member of the church was retired. It was 200 or 300 people there that morning, and they were all people who fled the north into the sunshine of Arizona. And it was known to be a difficult church, actually, because of all of these retired ministers in the congregation who wanted to boss the senior minister and tell him or her how she or he ought to do things. I wasn't invited to preach that Sunday. I wish I had been, but I was able to bring greetings. And by doing that, it was like it gave me an invisible badge. The invisible badge was, he's okay to ask you for money. You can trust. I gave my greetings and sat down, and the preacher preached, and then he went to the table. I was sitting on the chancel next to the associate minister. But as the senior minister went to the table, he was unable to speak, and he stood in silence before the table. And then when he did speak, he made his confession. He confessed that he and the associate minister had been in conflict and at odds with one another. And he said that he could not preside at the table either to offer or receive the bread and the cup unless he experienced reconciliation and forgiveness from her. And so he left the table and came up to the chancel, and there before us all, before God and everybody, these two people practiced the sacrament of forgiveness, reconciliation. See, I've forgotten so many of the churches that I visited in those 10 years. Can't remember where they were, what their names are, but I shall never forget that moment. This, you see, is normative. This is normal in the Christian church. This is who we are. God's forgiven and forgiving people. And in this world, with all of its conflicts, with all of the hatred, with all of the divisions. This is our gift, you see. This is our witness. This is what we have to offer in Christ's name to a broken, fractured, and hurting world. A world that lives by lies and by illusions. The world in which people demonize and harm each other in ways that are indescribable. This is what we bring. And you remember how Jesus on that first Easter, as he met with the disciples behind closed doors, and he said to them, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." We are God's sent people, or we are nothing. This is what we are. This is who we are for the world. We are sent into this world to be God's agents of reconciliation. Some years ago, there was a businessman. We're talking maybe 100 years ago. This is an old story. There was a businessman whose business was thriving, and he needed to bring on an associate, a partner, to help him to run the business. And he brought into his business this associate, this young man, who unfortunately was dishonest. And because of this associate's dishonesty and his schemes and how he handled the money and the affairs of the business lost everything, went completely bankrupt. And the two separated, of course, from each other. The businessman, carrying in his heart resentment. Of course he did. Resentment is the most human of emotions that we experience. We all know what that means. We have all been betrayed. We have all been cheated. We have all drawn that short straw. We know. Every one of us knows that feeling, that emotion of resentment. In fact, if there's no resentment, there will be no forgiveness. Resentment is built in to our lives. But this businessman was also a Christian, and he knew that he had work to do. And the associate, of course, being dishonest and unable to manage his affairs in a proper way, became destitute, even more destitute, and his family became hungry, and the businessman anonymously. This is how much of our work for Christ operates. Not for glory, not for fame, not so people will think highly of us, in secret. That's the strength, in secret. He anonymously sent money so the family could be fed. And then later on, the associate's son got in trouble with the law, and the businessman helped him get through that hurdle, over that hurdle, into a different place. And finally, the associate was left abandoned by everyone, his family and everyone, and he became horribly ill. At which point, the businessman went to his home as he was there, suffering all alone, built a fire, did the laundry, washed the dishes, fed his associate, all the while taking risk that the infection would also have its way with him. And all the while, the associate could only sit there in tears. This is not extraordinary. This is normative. This, because of what God has done for us, what God has done for you, the great forgiveness, the marvelous grace, the setting you before him in forgiveness and in new life, this new creation that God has done for us. We are a new creation. We've been changed and transformed into life. Because of all of that, we are empowered then. But I think only then, unless you've been there, unless you know what it's like. Unless you see in your own life what you've done, what I've done to hurt other people, to ignore and walk on the other side of human need, all that has been transpired in my life and yours, when we know how deep and wonderful and wide and complete our forgiveness is from God, then, but I think only from that place, are we able to work through the resentment and move into reconciliation and forgiveness. So this is our task. This is our calling. This is what we are sent to do and to be. We take unto ourselves the pain, and in the clear knowledge that forgiveness will follow. So we come to the table today, all around the world. And at the table, miracles happen. They always do. New life is experienced. New life will be experienced in you today. And then our witness to the world, it's a witness of new life. We have not received the spirit of the world, writes Paul, but the spirit who is from God. Amen. Now we join together in voice, but also when we sing, it's also prayer, isn't it? We praise and we pray as we sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of 517. Thank you.
God has made humankind in the divine image, with various hues of skin, hair, and eyes, of varied heights and widths, with differing talents and gifts. Yet all of us are beautiful in God's sight. Children of God, we are, each and every one. In his time on earth, Jesus reached out to all persons, poor, rich, young, old, women, men, sick, the marginalized, and he taught us to do the same. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit has come to this table spread around the world today. We seek and pray for blessing and peace for each person everywhere celebrating this meal, that we may grow into one body, united in common love, to bring God's reconciling peace to the whole world. For these hopes and for all God's promises given and kept, we give thanks now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is God. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. And when these, your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ for the world. So the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, having given thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take eat. Take eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord. the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Was that a real tambourine or was that the organ?
It was.
That was a, I thought it might be. That is so beautiful. You're a great singing congregation. That's beautiful. Thank you. And so Paul says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. May this spirit fill and bless your life. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God and the strength of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.